No wonder whether you can remember back to the start of the service, to the Bible reading that Jill read to us from Luke's account of Jesus' resurrection. Can you remember how it ended with the Apostle Peter wondering to himself what had happened? Some of the women from their group had come back from where Jesus was buried, and they told the rest of the apostles that Jesus was actually alive. And Peter himself had gone to the tomb, and he'd seen that things were exactly as the women had described. It seems understandable for him to wonder what had happened, doesn't it? I think you and I would have reacted in a similar way, wouldn't we? Because people die, and that is it. And that has been true throughout the whole of history. You die, and that is it. And Peter and the other disciples had seen Jesus die and be buried, so there was no doubt in their minds that Jesus was dead. So understandably, as we heard in verse 11, the apostles didn't believe the report of the women who had just been to Jesus' tomb and found it empty, except the two angels who were telling them that Jesus had been raised from the dead, that he was alive. To the apostles, the report from the women seemed like nonsense, because people die, and that is it. And that's our experience of death, isn't it? And the experience of everyone who has ever lived. You die, and that is it. But the angels reminded the women in verses 6 and 7 of what Jesus had said to them before his death. They said, "Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." It's what Luke records Jesus as saying back in Luke chapter 9. And when we looked at that passage a few weeks ago as a church, I said that when Jesus said these things must happen, he was saying that both his death and his resurrection were preordained things by God, which were spoken about in the Old Testament. So although the women's experience and the apostles' experience and our experience and the experience of every other human being throughout history is that people die and that is it, the testimony of the women, the reminder of Jesus' words, the witness of the Old Testament, and the experience of many, many people at the time of Jesus' miracles, demonstrating his power and authority over nature and sickness and evil, all of this has to cause us to wonder, along with the first disciples, could it be true? Could someone actually come back to life after being dead for 2 days? Could Jesus really be alive? Well, over time, the disciples and many others became thoroughly convinced that it was, in fact, true, largely because they saw him for themselves numerous times when he'd come back to life, but also because they saw in the Old Testament that God had promised it time and time again. And just as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are all obsessed with Jesus' resurrection along with his death, so is the rest of the New Testament. The writers are consumed with these things. Everything they say is about or is connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so just as we looked on Good Friday at some of what the rest of the New Testament has to say about the death and resurrection of Jesus and its significance for us and for all people, I'm now going to take us briefly through the key things the New Testament says to us about the resurrection of Jesus and its significance for us and for all people. Firstly, then, what did Jesus' resurrection from the dead mean for him? What did Jesus' resurrection from the dead mean for him? Not long after Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Peter was speaking to a large crowd in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 24. And he said this to the crowd, that God raised him, speaking about Jesus, God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Saying that because God is the author or giver of life, he has the power and authority over life and death. He can bring life and he can bring death, which means that death has no power anymore over his son Jesus. The Apostle Paul says a similar thing in Romans chapter 6, verse 9. He says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." Jesus cannot die again. It no longer has mastery over him. So God not only has the power to raise Jesus to life again, but he has the power to continue to keep him alive and to never die again. And this is exactly what Paul says later on in Acts, in chapter 13, verse 34. He says that God raised him from the dead so that he will never be subject to decay. Jesus has been raised to life to never, ever die again. Which means that Jesus is still alive today, 2,000 years down the track. As the end of Luke and the start of the book of Acts tells us, after Jesus appeared to hundreds of people following his resurrection, and having given his disciples instructions to tell everyone about his death and resurrection, he was then taken up into heaven, where he is now living and seated at the right hand of the Father, continuing his work in the world by his Spirit. So the resurrection of Jesus meant for him that he was raised to life forever. Well, that's great for Jesus, isn't it? Good for him. Living forever is what we all want, isn't it? But what does Jesus' resurrection mean for us? The good news, the great news, is that it does mean something for us as well. Starting with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep or died in him." And similarly in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says, "By his power God raised the Lord from the dead, and he'll raise us also." Put simply, Jesus' resurrection means that we can also be raised from the dead. Jesus is, Paul says a bit later on in chapter 15, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians. He says he is the first fruits, or the first of many, to be raised from the dead. Jesus' resurrection provides the proof and the guarantee that others can be raised as well, to be like Jesus and to live forever. Now, other parts of the Bible, which we don't have time to look at now, go into the when and the how of other people being raised from the dead. But suffice to say here is that it's a thing for the future. Not something that happens exactly how it did for Jesus after just being dead for a couple of days. His resurrection so soon after his death was all about providing a proof and a guarantee that the resurrection from the dead was a real thing, that it was possible. So this is great news, isn't it? In fact, it's the best of news. Not only can Jesus come back to life forever, so can others. So can we, so can you. No longer is death the greatest of enemies, that the best human minds and skills cannot ultimately prevent us from yielding to. As the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, death no longer has a sting. It no longer has the victory. What a glorious thought that is. And this brings us to the implications of the resurrection of Jesus for the here and now, in this present life. It tells us that death is no longer something that we need to fear. We don't need to be scared of it. Knowing that the resurrection, life forever with Jesus, is possible. In a world gripped by fear and hopelessness at this time, Jesus has given us hope that no matter what happens in this life, we need not fear death. But more than just living without fear of death and looking forward to being raised with Jesus to life forever, his resurrection means a number of other things for the here and now. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Apostle Paul tells us that if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. It's what Jesus promised his disciples before his death. It's what the Apostle Peter proclaimed in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Because Jesus was raised to life, his very own spirit, his presence, comes to live inside people, giving us his life day by day. So even if we are alone, even if we are in isolation, we are never really alone when Jesus comes to live inside of us by his spirit. The spirit of Jesus doesn't have to keep 1.5 meters from us. He dwells within us. And dwelling within us, he helps us to live a new kind of a life. As Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, a life that doesn't reject God, but lives according to his good ways. A life that bears good fruit for God, as he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. These are just some of the wonderful implications for us of the resurrection of Jesus, for the future as well as for the present, the here and now. But as I said on Good Friday in relation to Jesus' death, it is also true of Jesus' resurrection, that we only receive the benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection if, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. To join Jesus in being raised from the dead, to live forever with him, to have such a great hope in a hopeless world, and to have his very presence with us now, giving life and fruitfulness to our mortal bodies, we have to believe in Jesus and in his death and resurrection. We have to turn to him, repenting of our sin, or saying sorry for our sin, and committing ourselves with his help to live for him and his ways and not for ourselves and our ways. And it's then and only then that we gain all of the wonderful benefits of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. How deep God's love is for the people that he made. That he would provide the way for every single person in history, including you and I, to be forgiven for rejecting him. And to not only have life beyond the grave forever, but to have fullness and fruitfulness in this life, here and now. And all of this is so beautifully summed up in the most famous verse of the Bible, John 3:16. Which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Amen.